Nonpartisan gubernatorial candidate Ryan Bundy may be seen as controversial to some, but for others, especially in rural Nevada, see him as a hero. Who may be well suited to lead the state for the next 4 years. KUNR's Paul Boger sat down with Bundy.
Why are you running for governor?
I am running for governor because there are needed changes to be made, and I believe that I am capable of making those changes if I were in the position of ability to do so, the governor's seat.
And what are some of those changes?
First and foremost, to make sure that Nevada is recognized as a sovereign state, equal in footing to the original 13 states. And second is to ensure that the rights of all men are being recognized, honored, and preserved, particularly in the court systems where they are currently not.
Now, you talked about making sure Nevada is a sovereign state. What are your top priorities in that?
First is the land ownership issue. Okay, currently the federal government is claiming ownership to nearly 90% of the land mass in Nevada, and there is no constitutional basis for this. And so the land and the resources need to belong and be in control of the people of Nevada.
Aren't they under the control of the federal government, which is run by the people of the United States?
Yeah, but that's not constitutionally correct.
Where in the Nevada Constitution does it talk about land usage?
It doesn't need to. Okay, the United States government is a creation of the states. Okay, the states are not subservient to the federal government. The federal government is constitutionally under the control of the states. Now, we, the people, through the states, have delegated to the federal government 18 enumerated powers. That's it. The 10th Amendment makes it clear that if the federal government has any power or authority, it will be in the Constitution. The 10th Amendment states that anything not delegated to them is reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And so the proper question you should be asking is, where in the Constitution do we, the people, delegate to Congress any control or ownership of land within an admitted state of the Union?
So let's kind of dive a little bit deeper. As governor, how would you work to preserve the state's public lands?
Well, first of all, we're going to resolve this issue, okay, by constitutional means. We will establish that the land and the resources belong to the people of the state of Nevada, and that's that. There's no questions about that. There's no Bureau of Land Management. There's no federal ownership unless they go through the proper course that constitutionally they are obligated to go through, which is in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, Congress must petition the state legislature and get their approval before they must purchase the land from the rightful owner, and then that land can only be used for the five express purposes in there, which is for military bases, arsenals, dockyards, magazines, and other needful buildings. And so there are current Nevada revised statutes where that process has taken place. And so there are legitimate pieces of federal property within the state of Nevada. But the large amounts that they are claiming, they're not constitutional.
Let's kind of put a pin in that for right now. I kind of want to talk to you about some of the other issues that are facing the state. Looking at your website and going through some of the issues that you have outlined there, I want to talk to you a little bit about education. Nevada has struggled over the years to improve its education system. How do you, as governor, improve the education system in the state?
Well, as bad as the education system seems to be, according to our ratings of 50 out of 50th, just about anything I do should improve it. But my particular ideals are that the responsibility to educate belongs to the parents. It doesn't belong to the state, nor to the Fed, nor government. The state, of course, can aid the individual, the parents, in helping with that. I see that whatever monies are being allocated to the education of students should be placed into the hands of the parents to be used at their discretion, whether they choose to homeschool, send to a private school, to a charter school, or whatever type of school. I believe that the schools should be taken out of the hands of government and placed in be more privatized. I believe that if the monies were placed in the hands of the parents, that new schools would come into existence, smaller schools, schools perhaps that were more focused upon a particular line of subject, colleges, so to speak, that high schools might be more like colleges in the future. But I believe that with competition, there would be all types of schools that would come into existence that would increase the quality of education.
Part of your platform states that you'd work to remove the mandate that requires children go to school. How would that improve education?
For a government to mandate that a child go to school is a communistic idea. Okay, does a child need to go to school? Should a child go to school? Yes, but that should be at the discretion of the parent. The parent is the one who is responsible for that. Now, I do believe that education, the greater education, breaks poverty. That if we weren't educated, there would be a problem. But for government to mandate that, government has no business in mandating what we do. That's not the proper role and function of government.
What role does the government play in healthcare?
I don't believe the government should have a role in healthcare.
Why?
Because that's an individual responsibility. It's not a government function.
So programs like Medicare, Medicaid, do you believe that those are not needed or unconstitutional, perhaps?
You know, those are socialistic type programs that I don't necessarily agree with. I can see some good they do, and I can also see a lot of confusion and harm they cause in the medical industry. And I think and I believe that because of them, that medical costs have risen, that there's a lot of corruption and fraud that takes place because of them. But yet I can also see that many people rely on those things for their health and benefits. It's not something that can be dropped easily or quickly, but I still believe that, you know, medical care is an individual responsibility and people should plan accordingly for their needs.
You've stated both in on your website and in interviews that I've heard you give that as governor, the state would not prosecute victimless crimes. First, what is a victimless crime?
So I think that in America, we've forgotten what freedom is, quite frankly. But freedom is that we have the right and the ability to choose for ourselves what we will do in every given situation. In other words, you can do what you want to do. That's freedom. Now, the natural limit upon that freedom is that we have no right to do harm to another individual. We have no right to, you know, to do harm to their life, to their liberty, to their property. So therein defines what a crime is and what a criminal is. Okay, a crime is when somebody willingly, knowingly, intentionally does damage to another individual's life, liberty, or property, or otherwise damages their life. So the damaged one, of course, is the victim. The one who does the damage is one who obviously disregards your rights and is the criminal. So when I say, and therein is a real crime, a true crime. Okay, now what government has done is they've made a whole plethora of laws, codes, rules, regulations, and they're basically saying if you don't do what we tell you to do, then that's a crime. Well, that doesn't properly define crime. And so they're prosecuting people who have done no harm to anyone. There is no victim. There is no harm done. There is no restoration that can be restored. The government, whether it be the state or the feds or county or whomever, they are claiming that, you know, the state is the victim. You've done society harm by not obeying the codes and regulations that we have given you. And that's a perversion. Okay. So where there is no victim, where there's been no harm done to another individual's life, liberty, or property, there is no crime. And government should not and cannot properly prosecute them.
What about drug crimes?
Same thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any victim? Is there any harm to a particular individual? Sometimes, you know, well, for instance here, I believe that God created this earth. And if you read the scriptures, you'll understand that he gave man dominion over all of the earth and over the animals and the plants and every living thing. And they are there for our benefit. Okay, so when we talk about, say, marijuana, it's a plant. Okay, well, God gave that to man to use. And so what right does government have to say we can or cannot use a particular plant or how we use that particular plant? It's not government's place. Okay, so why is there any laws trying to, or codes, rules, or regulations that are trying to inhibit what God has given us to do? Now, so if someone decides to use that plant, there's no crime there. Now, if they harm somebody while they are intoxicated by whatever they might be using, well, there's the crime because they've done some harm. But simply possessing or utilizing something, that's not crime.
Do you think that the governor has that ability to make that call, or is that something that's more in the attorney general's wheelhouse?
Well, the attorney general, of course, is also part of the executive branch and has a position to execute the laws. Okay. But again, the governor is the chief executive officer. And as governor, I will swear an oath to uphold the Constitution for the United States. And as such, I have the obligation to uphold the rights of the individuals. Mm-hmm. Now, what we keep forgetting is that there's supposed to be a system of check and balances within government. And that is why we are a federal system. Now, federal basically means it's broken up. It's not, all the power's not in one branch. That's why we have three branches of government. That's why we have the different levels of government, the state and federal. And so each branch and each level of government are supposed to be a check and a balance to the other. Every one of them, each branch is supposed to be protecting the rights of the individual, not the collective. If you protect the rights of the individual, then the rights of the collective is automatically protected. But if you focus on collecting or protecting the collective, then individuals get trampled underfoot. Okay, so as a governor, it is my responsibility to protect the rights of the individual. And if there are laws, rules, codes, regulations, whatever, that are violating an individual's rights, well, then I am under obligation to bring a stop to that and thus protect their rights. That is the check that will take place.
I have to ask about guns. The law in Nevada requires that the state perform a background check on certain gun purchases. Now, the current Attorney General, Adam Laxalt, one of your opponents, has said that's unenforceable. Others say it's unconstitutional. You know, neither here nor there. The voters passed that measure in 2016. Would you as governor defend it?
What does the supreme law of the land say?
Are you referring to the Second Amendment?
Sure.
I mean, why don't you go ahead and tell me?
It says Congress shall, you know, it says the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the infringement is a big word and a big meaning. Okay, so if there's a law passed that infringes upon that right, then it's not a proper law. And I believe that the background check is an infringement.
So you would not defend that particular law?
Well, it's an improper law because it's infringing upon a guaranteed right by a supreme law of the land.
You know, the federal government has passed laws that make it illegal for felons to own guns. Is that unconstitutional?
Sure it is. I have to uphold the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's the supreme law of the land. That is the rights that people have. We have to uphold those. And so some things we've got to go do through legislation. Some things can be done simply by the executive power, through executive orders, so to speak.
So just to ask, you know, if every man, woman, and child in this country wanted to have a gun, they have the ability to have the gun.
That's right, and they should have one.
Why is that?
Well, if you look further into the Second Amendment, the first part of that, in fact, the major part of that, is that it states that for the security of a free state, okay, a militia is necessary for that security, okay? And the right of the people to keep and to bear arms shall not be infringed. So what we forget in America is that our founding fathers put that Second Amendment in there for a specific purpose. It wasn't for hunting or recreation. I mean, yes, we can use them for those things, but that's not why we have the right to keep and bear arms. We have the right to keep and bear arms for the security of a free state, individually. Now, the Nevada Revised Statutes define the militia, as being every able-bodied man between the ages of 17 and 65. So you look like you're between that age. You're a member of the militia. And for a militia to be effective, they must have the means necessary to protect our freedom. And therefore, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Part of the job of running for governor is working with the federal government. Would it be fair to say that you don't seem to have the best working relationship with the feds currently?
It depends on which branch of feds you're talking about, okay? So constitutional branches of government, I have no problem with, okay? Again, you got to realize, I believe that people often forget who we are and what we are. Okay, we are a union of several states. This is not one nation, one country. This is a union currently compromising of 50 states and several other. And so the states are not a subdivision of the federal government. If we were a subdivision, then the term and definition of state wouldn't apply. We would be a province or a district. If we are one country instead of 50 of us who are united, then union wouldn't apply. You can't be a union unto yourself. One can't be a union. A union must compromise of several. And so if we are one entity with districts or provinces, then that would be described as an empire. We would be the imperial provinces of America instead of the United States of America. Now, we all know that that's not the case. We know that our founding fathers established a union of several states, each supposed to be equal in every regard. Obviously, the boundaries are a little bit different, but we're supposed to be equal in footing to one another. And we created the union for common causes and purposes, and everyone belonging to the union should be able to receive the benefits of belonging to that union. And of course, the benefits of belonging to the United States of America is that the central government, the federal government, is supposed to protect us from outside forces, outside influences, supposed to deal with war and peace and foreign commerce and trade and relations. But the federal government is not supposed to be dealing with inside matters. And so that is an area that the federal government has greatly overstepped its bounds. If there's a conflict between one state and another, then the federal government has jurisdiction to be able to work out those conflicts. But the federal government is not supposed to be controlling or dealing in the matters down inside the states. And so if you say, oh, can I work with the federal government? Yes, I can, as long as they are within the bounds of the Constitution, and otherwise, no.
Why enter this race? You're a fairly conservative guy. I think that's fair to say. Why not run as a Republican? Why not challenge Adam Laxalt in a primary? Why run as an independent?
Well, I see too much corruption within the parties, and I couldn't participate. I believe that, well, I have to stand for principles and not be involved with the politics.
You know, and lastly, at the end of the day, this is a contentious campaign, at least between Steve Sisolak and Adam Laxalt. And you don't have the greatest name recognition, at least thus far in the campaign. You said it just a moment ago that not everybody, even in the Republican circles or the conservative circles, knows that you're running.
I don't believe I said that. Well, I believe most people know that I'm running, and I have pretty good name recognition. I mean, I don't know many people who don't know me, and particularly don't know my family name.
I apologize. Let me rephrase. I guess more along the lines of, you know, at the end of the day, what do you honestly think it'll take to win this particular race?
Well, you know, I hope that people will see the principles upon which I stand and will vote for me principle based. You know, it's not just about name recognition. It's not just about party affiliation. And, you know, this two-party system has actually led us to the terrible condition in which we are. And so it's time people look past that and start to vote based upon, you know, correct principles rather than politics.
Ryan Bundy is an independent candidate for governor. Mr. Bundy, thank you so much for joining me.
Okay, thank you for having me.
That was KUNR's Paul Boker speaking with Ryan Bundy, a nonpartisan candidate for governor. We also spoke to Democratic nominee Steve Sisolak. KUNR also reached out to Republican nominee Adam Laxalt for a sit-down interview, and his campaign has yet to respond. Find more at KUNR.org.